Hebrews chapter 11. Let's all stand. Look at verse number 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, parentheses, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Wow. I read it slow on purpose. There's so much. The Lord, we can't see their faces. We don't know their names. But they await. They await us in that great cloud of witnesses. They watch us. They observe us. Lord, help us as 21st century Christians to live up to our heritage. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Faith walkers. We're going to talk about the prophets and the martyrs tonight. And many others. Many, the many and nameless faithful. The many and nameless faithful. Thank God for these that have been listed. We've had a chance to go through Hebrews chapter 11, start at the beginning, and from Abel all the way down here, we ended up with David and Samuel. We've had a chance to go back to the Old Testament where we have the stories. We know the names and we have the stories. We can read about their moms and their dads, and we can place them in history and listen to the events of their life and their victories and some of their failings. But then comes this statement, and what more shall I say, for the time would fail me? And what God was saying through the writer of the book of Hebrews, I think through Paul, was this. Folks, there's too many stories to tell. I mean, we'll have an eternity to get to meet some of these people. We'll have an eternity to tell the stories. We'll have an eternity to tell all of the tales. And folks, we're going to talk about the prophets, because at the end of verse number 32, it says, and of the prophets. And then the Bible calls them and others. You'll see that phrase in verse 35. You'll see it again at the beginning of verse 36. And others, referring to the martyrs. Some suffered in some way. Some gave everything, gave their lives. But God says at some point, okay, I've given you glimpses. I've given you a list, a handful of people we've talked about that, you know, whose names have been written down, but there's countless, countless, countless others. Yeah, some of them were called into full-time ministry. Some of them were the Old Testament prophets. Many of the people that are listed, these nameless, faithful people, are just like y'all, just people that showed up, taught Sunday school. Maybe nobody knows you outside of your community. You know, you just showed up every week at that nursing home. Just showed up there. Just knew the people by name. And many of them counted the days. They'd wake up. Some of them wake up and say to the nurse every morning, because they can't remember what. They say, what day is it? And they'd say, well, I wish it was Sunday. Or if you came on a Saturday, I wish it was Saturday. I can't wait till Saturday. folks, listen to me. God is going to reward good and faithful servants. You realize that that's the standard that's been set? That's the thing we're to work towards? Just good. I'm glad it doesn't say great and talented. I'd be in trouble. I'm never going to hear that. Aren't you glad that if we'll just say, God, I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be good. And I'm just trying to be faithful. You know what? Sometimes that may not be good enough to other people, but it sounds like it's going to be good enough to God. And I just want to listen, where you're at in the circumstance of life that you face, be as good as you can be for God. And by the way, it doesn't take brains to be faithful. It doesn't take special talent to be faithful. It doesn't take some type of a standard of education to be faithful. You can just decide you're going to be faithful. And this is what this chapter is all about. It's God celebrating this idea of faith and faithfulness. And so let's talk first about the prophets. Some prophets were mightily used of God. We see them summarized at the end of verse 32, and of the prophets. And then it says, who through faith, who through faith. So faith was key in everything that's listed after that. And the first part of this portion of Scripture, these many and nameless faithful, are going to talk about success stories, even though we don't know the person. We don't know sometimes the specific story, although some of these mentions we can kind of trace back and maybe know who they were talking about. I mean, when it says, stop the mouths of lions, I know at least one guy. Okay, when it says, quench the violence of fire, I know three guys that got thrown in and walked out. And while they were in there, there was a fourth man walking in there with them, you know, who was the Son of God. And so we read some of these stories and we're kind of like, but you know what? For the one or two names we knew, we may have known Daniel faced lions, but he's not the only Christian ever faced a lion. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced fire, but those aren't the only three that ever had to face it. So you think about that. Let's just look down through this list. It's kind of neat, some of the things. I know we read this, and I think when we read this list, probably I'm guilty of it. Probably spent too much of my life reading it way too fast. We just go down through here and say, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And we, wait a minute, did you hear what they did? What God used them to do? By the way, God can use you to do some great things too. You think about subdued kingdoms. And I think about Elijah and I think about how God said, you know what? Under Ahab, Israel sure has strayed off. I'm going to use you to subdue a kingdom. You know what Elijah did? He simply got on his knees. The Bible says he's a man of like passions as we are. You know, I think we're going to go to heaven and we're going to think these guys are like superheroes. And we're going to walk up and say, Elijah? He said he was just a man of like passions as we are. You know what he did? The Bible says he prayed. And you know what God did in answer to his prayer? He said, I'll just turn the rain off for 3 years. And you know what? It got a nation's attention. It got the attention of a king. In fact, the king got so mad, he challenged him to a contest on the top of Mount Carmel. And you know what? We all know how that ended up. You know, talking about men that did this. But wait a minute. We know Elijah's story, but how many other men? If we could go back through history and some, well, their names and stories have been lost. We'll never know them. Whose faith and preaching and prayers impacted an entire nation. You know, I think we know our heroes here in the United States. We know the men of history that existed at the founding, the birthing of our country. You know, people are going to know George Washington. They're going to know John Adams. They're going to know Patrick Henry. But I think how many do we not know? How many women were on their face praying for these soldiers? How many preachers were preaching in country pulpits and their preaching and their biblical principles that they presented inspired their men to stand up and fight for something? And I'm talking about subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. And I think about men, these prophets that were sent in different times. And again, we can go back and find some of these in the Bible, but where they saw great revival. What does it mean, wrought righteousness? It means they turned a nation or a group of people or a community to Jesus Christ. You know, I think about Jonah, you know, the pouting racist prophet. And he was. But you know what? An entire city turned to Christ. Hey, before you throw too many rocks, have you went and preached at a large metropolitan area and have them all get right with God? I'm not going to be too hard on Jonah. God used him, you know, obtained promises. I was thinking of Isaiah, and I think, what kind of promises? What does that even mean? God sometimes just looked down and said to a prophet, I'm going to give you a promise. And by giving that prophet that promise, he not only gave it to that prophet, because God's no respecter of persons, but he gave it to every prophet, every preacher. What's the difference between a prophet and a preacher? Well, we talk about the word prophet. If you look up that word, it's talking about someone who foretold something. And what did they foretell? They foretold the words of God. I mean, God came down and said, here's my words. I want you to foretell them. Here's some things that's going to happen. I want you to foretell them. And these things came from God. God doesn't come down and do that to me, but I say preachers are forth-tellers. You know, we have the words of God. They're right here. But the job description's a lot, pretty much the same. Whatever God said, we just proclaimed it, you know. And so that's the difference. But you think about Isaiah and the promise that he received. I wrote this one down in Isaiah 54:17. How about this one? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know what God was telling Isaiah in the middle of his ministry? Stop worrying about the threats. Okay? He was telling him, stop watching Fox News. That's what he was telling him. Stop worrying about who's in office and who's not in office and who got elected and who didn't. You know, stop worrying about this conspiracy and that conspiracy, because whatever weapon is being formed in secret that they think they're going to use against you, they're going to have to get through me first. Don't worry about it. Just do what I called you to do. That's what, you know how many times, even as a young preacher, I flipped over there and took that verse and said, okay, Lord, I'm worrying about way too much. It's not my business. I'm just supposed to go do what you called me to do. And so you think about the promises, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions. I already mentioned Daniel, but how many others? Quench the violence of fire of mission, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escape the edge of the sword. How many times we go to the Bible and look back? I think of that story about Elisha in 2 Kings chapter number 1, where, you know what, he kept, there was this king and he fell down through a lattice, whatever a lattice is, and he hurt himself and he looked like he was going to die. So he sends his men to go inquire of Beelzebub to find out whether or not he's going to live or die. Sends men to a foreign country to go see to a temple of Beelzebub to find out whether he's going to live or die. So God says to Elijah, get up and intercept those guys. And he went over and said something like this. Is there not a God in Israel that you have to go to another country, to a false God and a false temple to find out what's going to happen? God sent me to interrupt you, intercept you. And you know what God says? You're going to die. You go home and tell that king he's a dead man. He turned around, went back up, got up on a mountain, sat up on a hill. I would have too, probably, after delivering that message. And you know what? The king got mad. And you know what he did? He sent a captain and 50 soldiers to take Brother Elijah. And that captain walked up there and started hollering at him, saying, the king said you're to come with us. And God looked up, Elijah looked up, prayed a little prayer, and fire came down from heaven. Crispy critters, man. King sent 50 more. Guy came with the same attitude. Now we've got 100 crispy critters. The next guy's pretty smart. He came up and said, Mr. Elijah, sir, can I ask you something? He said, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Folks, you think about that. Listen, these aren't just things that are written down, black words on white paper. These are things that happen. You know, I heard one of the preachers when I was up at the meeting said, imagine these Old Testament prophets looking down at modern day Christians and saying, COVID-19? COVID-19. That's what stopped you? COVID-19. I had to kind of laugh about that one. So, out of weakness, we're made strong. You know, one of the neat things that you see is that God, a lot of times, picked the most unlikely people. And, you know, he still does. Read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. You know what he likes to take the weak to confound the strong, the foolish to confound the wise. And, you know what, God still does those things. Waxed valiant in fight. You know, I think about Elijah against 850 prophets of Baal. And, you know, you say, well, that was just a fireworks contest. You didn't read the end of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, he personally took a sword and slew 850 of them. Amen. Amen. You don't want to tick off that preacher. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. We could talk about stories. Women received their dead, raised to life. Elisha, 2 Kings chapter number 4. Remember the Shunammite woman? And it is well. It is well. It is well. It is as long as I can get to the man of God with my son, it's going to be well. And you know what? It was well. It was well. You know, it's interesting. I kind of did a quick look in the Bible and just said, wonder what Jesus said about the prophets. I just wanted to go through and just, you know, man, thank God for, I really do. Some of the technology I am thankful for, and that is, well, I can do some quick looking at verses. Type in a word, Brother James, y'all don't know how good you have it. I can still see me with that big Strong's Concordance, microscopic. I don't even know how they got print that small, you know. My finger, and I'm going, and then I have to split back to look at the definitions, and y'all are just sitting there, click, 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 click. So am I now, by the way. But I just thought, I'll type in prophets and read what Jesus said about them. I'll type in prophet and read what Jesus said. He said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet born of a woman. I found that. Hey, you know what? If I was a young preacher, I think I'd study John the Baptist. I mean, I think that Jesus just said, hey, y'all go learn from him. Well, how do you get that rank? Hey, we need to know your name. They're asking who you are. I mean, are you the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Or are you the Christ? He said, I'm just a voice. How about that? Where's that? Come on, where's that in the ministry today? Won't even tell your name. Just a voice. Just crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way for the Lord. He said, listen, there's somebody coming that you ought to know. You need to know his name. You don't need to know my name. You need to know his name. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not worthy to even kneel down and tie his shoes. Well, if we could get that back into leadership in the church. Come on, not just in the pulpit, all leadership in the church, all the way down. Too many people worried about trying to make a name for themselves or how much attention they got or did they get mentioned or they didn't. It's killing us. Who cares? Who cares? I just read this story about I can't remember the name of the preacher now that the man went to see. Name of a well-known preacher, and the guy had to walk to go hear him preach. So he went by a farmer's house, and he said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go here. And he called this man's name, well-known preacher's name. And he said, I'm going to go hear him preach. And he went on. Later on, he came back through. And he said, did you hear? Did you get to see? He said, did you get to see it? He called the name of the famous preacher's name. And he said, well, I went to see him, but all I saw was Jesus. He said, all I saw was Jesus. I thought, boy, come on now. He said, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet born of woman. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own country. That's a warning Jesus. By the way, that's not a command. It's just an observation. Sad when it's true. Sometimes I think if we're not careful, we devalue the people that we just know too well. You know, by the way, Sunday school teachers, when you walk in next Sunday morning, you have no idea who you may be teaching. Oh, that's just old so-and-so, or that's just this kid, or that's just that family's middle child or youngest child. You don't know who you're teaching. You don't know what he's going to do, what she's going to do one of these days. We got kids out in ministry that one time was back in the nursery. You know, Sister Nancy taught every one of them, I think, that went through here. She taught every one of them that went through here. She didn't know when she was in there teaching them to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, what they'd be doing with their lives. I mean, we just don't know. Listen, let's not put our young people down. Let's bring them up. Okay, we're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The world will spend enough time putting them down. Okay, let's lift them up. Let's love on them. Let's get them ready because God's going to do some great things with them. The Jews wanted a sign, and he said, you don't need a sign. Just go see Jonas the prophet. He called Jonah the prophet. He said, that's the only sign I'm going to give you. Pointed him back to a prophet. You know what he said? He said, when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, he said, don't worry about it. So persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. He said, look back at your history and your heritage. Some of the folks aren't going to like it when you preach the word of God. Some people are going to try to do everything they can to ruin your reputation or run you down or mock or scoff, belittle what you're doing. He said, hey, they've been doing that all through history. Don't worry about it. Just preach, man. So this is just things Jesus said about the prophets. He said this, he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. We ought to remember that. He warned us to beware of false prophets. There's plenty of those folks. Be careful. Pharisees, he told them, you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the graves of the righteous. But he said, these same people that you're celebrating now, your fathers killed them. Remember he prayed over Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. Then this is his description. Thou that killest the prophets. When he was praying over Jerusalem, the first thing he said after, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. And, you know, here, the sad part about it is, if we're not careful, we don't learn anything from the Jews. You know, I go to churches, I go to conferences where I hear preachers, now they'll lift up and celebrate Lester Roloff and John R. Rice. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know what? If they showed up and preached in your church, bud, you wouldn't be celebrating them. That's the truth. That's the truth. And that's basically what Jesus said. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and ye would not? And he was talking to the Pharisees. He was telling them, you know, now you lift them up. Now you talk about them. You like the quotes you like. But you might want to read all the sermons. People say, oh, if we can only have Billy Sunday. Most independent fundamental Baptist churches wouldn't last through one Billy Sunday sermon. You know. Well, we do the same thing. Come on, we do the same thing. There's no new thing under the sun. He told his disciples this one day. He turned around. He said, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see. I'll get to it. But if you look down into the chapter, verse number 39, it says, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You know, all of them men were preaching and teaching and prophesying about something they never got to see. You can't go to one of the prophets that does not give some prophecy concerning Christ in either his coming or his life or later on his second coming. I mean, prophecies everywhere in the prophets, and they spent their life preaching and never getting to see it. And that's why Jesus turned around and said, hey, you know, they're watching him do all the miracles, and he said, stop, you better think about this. Blessed are the eyes which see these things ye see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see. Let's get down. I want to talk about prophets. The first group were prophets mightily used of God. The second group were prophets that were martyred for God. And in verse 35, all of a sudden, we see this little phrase I pointed it out to you. And others. Boy, up to now, 32 down to 35, it just seems like, you know, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there is that part of the ministry. Hey, young people, there is that part of the ministry. But that's not all there is in the ministry. And sometimes God used men to do great things. and to show the mighty arm of God. And sometimes God used men and women and let them suffer greatly, give their lives. And so here's another list. We just saw subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life and were like, yeah, let's sign up. That's the side I want to be on. Well, all these others that are mentioned were on the same side too. You know, how God uses each and every one of us is up to God. You know, Paul said, Lord, I just want you to be magnified, whether it be by my life or by my death. Whatever way you choose to use me, that's up to you, but just magnify yourself. And so then we have a different list. How about this? Tortured, trial of cruel mocking, scourgings, bonds and imprisonment, stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, homeless and destitute, afflicted and tormented, wandered. We'll break it down in a little more detail in a minute. Think about that. That's others and others. Okay, and others. From the world's standpoint, they would have been called failures. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the many and the nameless faithful, some that were faithful all the way to death, some that did not die, but they had to suffer many things on this earth. I met with about 250, 260 men. They think it was right in there, real close to that, in Alaska, 2 hours north of Anchorage camp. You can Google the camp. It's called Victory Bible Camp in Alaska. If you Google it, you'll find it. That's where we were. You can look at the pictures. Out in the middle of nowhere up in the mountains, amazing camp. It's kind of an ecumenical effort. They rent it out. Great staff, good people, sincere people, gospel preaching people. It's maybe not everywhere we are and everything else. But from all over Alaska, 260, 50 for sure, independent fundamental men, independent fundamental Baptist men showed up at that camp. Oh, you've been that have been to men's meetings? If you've been to one like that? And the best part of it's the singing, Brother Eric. We talked about it the other day. Just, woo, man alive. And just listen to them men sing. I just sat there and wiped tears away. It's good, good stuff. And what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the many and the nameless. Many of them were missionaries that the churches had raised money to fly in from different parts of remote Alaska. I know Brother Dively was in Alaska for a while. Anybody else live up there or were stationed up there that were in our military? How many has visited? Anybody visited there? You've been there? And Brother Asbury's been there. Good night. Brother Joe's been there. He told me over 50 times. He kept getting run out of town. You know, something would happen in Himera, and he's like, I'm going to go hide in Alaska for a while. And that's a rough town, man. You don't want to cross people in Himera. So, first time I went to Alaska, I just kept it twice a year. Most of the time, twice a year, you'd go up there. And I finally just got tired of hearing the stories. I said, Brother Joe, I said, when you go to Alaska? He said, well, this spring. I said, I'm going to go. I'm going to come with you. I'll just follow you around, carry your bags. And he'd do these seminars on and present, help people with the finances like he's done here. And then he'd set up appointments on Monday and Tuesday. And I thought, I'll go and sit in the back row of the church and amen. And then I'll take the rental car, the borrowed car, actually. I got 2 days to look around while he's meeting with all those people. This is going to work out good. So he shows up a couple weeks before we go with a little scrap piece of paper he'd written down some stuff on, handed it to me. And I said, what's that? He said, that's the names of the churches we'll be in. I said, good. He said, well, that's the times and the services you'll be preaching. And I said, whoa, well, what happened to following you around, carrying the bags and sitting on the back row? I call all these preachers and tell them I'm bringing my preacher. And the first thing they say, well, have him preach. And so, hey, that's all right. That's all right. If you're a preacher, you like to preach. It's all right. But the best part was just talking to those men and just going out to eat with them and saying, how'd you end up here and what's your story? And we're at this meeting. And they flew a lot of these men that are in the remote areas. Folks, there's many men, that are working in villages that you can't get to, you can't drive to them. And I'm not talking about one or two or three. You know, sometimes we think, well, you got to go to Africa, or you can go to Alaska and you can find everything you find in these type of remote areas. Young man gets up there. I mean, couldn't have been maybe late 20s. And he said something there. It says they had these men that they flew in. Come tell us about what's going on. Tell us what's going on. I don't know who this guy is. He just gets up there and he begins to weep and thanks whoever paid his way. He said, me and my wife live up in a such and such part on the north slope in a little village, 800 people. And he said, now, when it melts enough where we can use the river, we can get up and down the river, visit about four other villages. He said, other than that, I have to use a snowmobile to go and visit these villages when it's all frozen over. He said, 10 miles this way, there's a little group of 200. And, you know, 7 miles this way, there's another group of 400, a little village of 400. He says, now, that's one little section of the Yukon River. And I got a map out later on. He's all the way over here by kind of near the sea, the ocean, Yukon River. And the next one, a person is in Fort something. I can't remember the name of it. And he said, now, take a look at the map, because between me and him, there's a whole length of river that has the same amount of villages that I have basically along this river, and nobody's reaching them. And I'm sitting there looking at this man. And I mean, then they'd bring the next guy up, and he'd give a similar type story. And when they introduced me to preach, I looked at Mike Johnson is the man that I preached with. We were the two men that were doing the preaching. He's from Redding, California. If you ever heard Brother Johnson, tremendous, powerful preacher. And I got up and I looked at Brother Johnson. I said, Brother Johnson, there's got a few guys like us that maybe get a little more exposure. Our name's a little bit more well known. But I said, when we get to heaven, it's going to be those guys. Who are they? They're just the many and the nameless. By the way, before them, there was another generation of them. And before them, there was another generation of them. And you know what? That kid will go up there and he'll wear himself out. Him and his wife. Think about that, wives. Come on, think about that, wives. He married a woman, a lady, that when she said, honey, I think this is where we're going. Think this is where God's leading. She said, honey, let's do it. It just doesn't take tough men, courageous men, selfless men. It takes the same type of a lady. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, wow, are you kidding me? And, you know, you think about that. There's no road going there. You either fly in, you can get there by airplane, and that's really, or you can get on the river, go all the way when you can get on the river. That's it. You know, sled. You know, I mean, they call them sled. They call snowmobiles. I'm learning all kinds of stuff, okay? We call them snowmobiles, Michigan. They call them snow machines. When you get up to Alaska, they just call them sleds. I guess because they just replaced the dogs with a motor, so it's still a sled. They call them sleds. And that man will preach in his place, and then he'll get on a snowmobile and he'll go 10, 12 miles and preach in another village, get on a snowmobile. Can't all do it one day. So he says, we have services several days. The only way I can logistically pull it off. And he's like, I have him show me on the map, and he can cover about this much on the map of the Yukon River, and the Yukon River is this long on the map. And then all the way at the top, there's another guy, and he said, there's villages like this up. And what are you saying? I'm saying, you know what? Where's our pioneer spirit? You know, I'm going to tell you something. That was like going back in time and listening to some of them guys. And you know what? Before, like I said, this is the point I want to make. Before them, there's a generation of nameless, faceless, we don't know, same type of thing. And the generation, you can take it all the way back 2,000 years. Somewhere on this planet, there's always been those ones that just says, wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. And there's all kinds of, I mean, folks, the planet, the whole planet. I go to Alaska and I get, you know, so burdened because I think, good night, There's so few of them and so many to reach and they're so scattered. And what's the answer? I'm always one of these, okay, there's the problem. What's the answer? Let's talk. What's the answer? What's the answer? How do we figure it out? Well, Jesus told us what the answer is. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, but, you know, most, and just kind of take this thought and go with it, but I kept looking at why. Because I've been a lot of men's meetings. This meeting I just went to, I'll just share with you, probably, I mean, in everything I've ever attended in my life, ranked probably top two or three. The spirit, the whatever. So I was talking to Brother Castle about it afterwards. I said, you know, what's different? And he said, well, I think, you know what? It's not the average person that even come up here and live. He said, I'm talking about lost person, let alone saved person. But then to have a desire not only to be up here, but to see it for what it is and have a heart to reach it. He said, I think they're just cut out of a different cloth, man. He said, this is like going back 150 years in America, 200 years in America, and finding those men, those women. You know, that they call Alaska the last frontier for a reason. That's not an overstatement. It's the last frontier. And so, you know, here I am preparing to preach my last message. And I just went up there and God just all of a sudden I read it again. It just seems like, yeah, yeah. And the climate's different in another place in the part of the world, but there's still got to be those people that go. You know, there's the outback in Australia. Very little of it's being touched. I mean, just take the globe and spin it, kids. You know, there's places everywhere. I don't know what God's will for your life is, but you know what? You ought to be open to say, God, wherever you would send me, I'd do it. I think we need a group of young people that goes to God and says this, send me to something hard. We got a generation looking for easy. Not everybody. I think out of this generation that's looking for easy, there ought to be some kids, maybe some rednecks in southern Indiana that just says, Lord, I'll do the hard. Send me to the hard. Let me do the hard. Send me somewhere hard, Lord. You know that place you haven't been able to get anybody to go? Lay that on my heart. So, you know, but there's been generations of that going on. You know, you read these stories and it's like, I mean, tortured? That's one word. Isn't that what it says? And others, verse 35, were, there it is, just one word. Do you understand what that one word entails? Okay, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's just, again, a handful of names. But for everyone that's in that book, folks, there were, listen, tens of thousands of others we don't know that were tortured for their faith. Tortured. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Sometimes God gave them a way out. Do you know Paul was warned by a prophet not to go to Rome? Was it Agabus? Was that the name of the guy? Agabus? I don't know why that's coming to mind. It had been somebody I met in Alaska. I don't know. I mean, when a prophet comes to you, takes your cloak and ties you up and says, if you go to Rome, that's what they're going to do, and you go anyway. Not accepting deliverance. A lot of these people that died could have escaped death. But you know what? They just said, no. This is where I'm going to stand. No. I'm not looking for the way out. I'm looking for the way in. You know, so think about that. Others, Bible says, in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings. Now, just stop there. So that means that there was false accusations made against a lot of Christians during the time. They were brought before large groups of people in their community, and they were put on trial. And the Bible describes these trial of cruel mockings. You know, folks, sometimes it's almost easier to take physical torture than it is to be treated like this. But you know what they did? They just took it. They knew the world wasn't going to understand, but they just did it. And then it says, scourgings. Okay, again, that's a whipping. That means, come on, man, that's tied to a post. Rip your shirt off, tied to a post, and get the whip out and just lash you. You know, these aren't just words. And again, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Christians have done that and then been beat till they're senseless, left to bleed. And somebody finally comes, cuts them loose, and they crawl to their house and they mend, and then they go back to church. Or they pick up the Bible and go back to the pulpit. They were faithful. I can't get some people back in the pew from this hogwash we just went through. So, excuse me, but you're still laying out. Yeah, I think your pastor's been very kind and overly patient, but there comes a point in time where, good night. You just read this and then come explain it to me, okay? You know, I mean, I had a 79-year-old mother when this thing started, just looked at me and said, Jerry, I'm going to take some precautions, but I'm not living by fear. And she said, me and your dad, the day we got saved, knew our lives were in the hand of God. And you know what? Church is where I go. As soon as I open it up, I'm trying to scare off the older folks, and they're all coming, and I can't get the yuppies out of their basement, you know. So. That was free. That was free. Come on. I'm getting you ready, because that wasn't the last thing. That was the first thing. Come on. Birthing pains are going to happen. The church better toughen up a little bit. Better toughen up. Now, you read these things stoned, okay? Well, first we jumped over bonds and imprisonment. Now, these are just words, but that means they put them, listen, they literally put them in bonds. They put them in the stockade. They sometimes did it very publicly where people walk by and laugh and spit on them, kick them, do things I can't even describe from the pulpit to them while they're just chained there and laughed and mocked at them. You know, people were in prison. They went to jail for their faith. Folks, not just in the book of Acts. It was from the book of Acts all the way on until it's still going on today. Okay, maybe not as much in America, but there's a lot of places where it's happening. You know what they did? They said, we're going to be faithful. Faithful, okay. You get down here, we're stoned. You know, we read about the stoning of Stephen, and yet it's still not described in minute detail. But folks, you think about that idea of somebody taking you, dragging you out into the city, beating you down to the ground to where you can't hardly get up, and then they all pick up rocks about this big and they just stand in a circle, and everybody's got two or three of them laying at their feet, and all of a sudden, with all that they can throw, with all their might, men, grown men, strong men, everything they can throw, they are trying to, with all of the accuracy they can, they're trying to hit you in the head and hit you in the body and break bones. That's what's happened to a lot of the ones that have come before us. They're nameless. We don't know them. We don't know all the stories. We're going to know it one of these days in heaven. Okay, I could have, if I never went to Alaska last week, I'd have lived and died and never knew that there was a kid and his wife up there in a village of 800 people. You know, I don't remember his name. Sorry. Not as good as with names. I'm getting worse. But, God knows his name. He got to go a men's retreat. I think they flew his wife in and she was with some of the ladies doing something. But I mean, that's what they do. That's what they do. I mean, you look at this. I mean, it's going to get a little more gross. Okay, when you get down to where it says stoned. And then after that, it says verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. I don't know of two words that could have been brought together that somehow makes that sound like it's not all that bad. Sawn asunder. We can just throw there, sawn asunder. What does that mean? I thought, well, it's got to mean something. And so I, you know, go to the original word and I look at it, and you know what it means? They were sawed in two. Sawn asunder. That's exactly what it meant. I'm like, oh, come on, you're strapped down. And some two men stand over you with the big saw. And we're eventually going to get to it. Okay, right after that, sawn asunder. It just says we're tempted. Question, you know, then comma, and then it goes on. You know what that means? That means that they were tested, tempted. They were offered a way out. They were offered a chance not for these things to happen. They were in that, the word actually means enticed. So in other words, they're standing over you with the saw and they're saying, one last chance, buddy. You blaspheme God, deny the name of Jesus Christ. We'll take you out. You won't have to feel this. If you don't, we're going to cut you in half. Okay, that's who came before us. Now, that's what God's talking about. These are the type of people he's bringing into this conversation when he says, let's talk about faith. Let's talk about faith, folks. He's talking about sawn asunder. Woo! I just read down through. Tempted, slain with the sword. This last, man, you talk about hit a reset button in Americans. How about this? They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They didn't do that because they wanted to. They did that because that was the only way they were allowed to live, which means they were driven out of their homes, driven into the wilderness, made to live in caves, weren't allowed to come to the village to buy decent clothes. So you know what they did? They took the skins of whatever animals they killed to be able to live and feed their family, and they scraped them and made clothes out of them. And you imagine the people as they saw them in the hills, as they came across them and laughed and mocked, picked up rocks and threw at them, and these crazy people are willing to live that way because they've got a God that they won't deny. Crazy. They're crazy. Look what they're doing to their wives. Look what they're doing to their kids. Look what they're doing to their families. Be careful. There'll be Christians saying that for this whole thing's over against other Christians. And then it goes on to say being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. So when I talk about these things, I'm talking about they are hunted, they are tormented. When they're found, they're persecuted, they're abused, they're mistreated. Because everybody in the community knows you can do whatever you want to these people and you will never suffer for it. Imagine that. Imagine that. Take that where you need to take it. That's why God says, stop. And he puts parentheses. He says, of whom the world was not worthy. He said, there's a handful of people that have been willing to suffer and sacrifice to a level that God in heaven looked down and said, this world wasn't even worthy of having them here on this same planet with them. Whew. I think things are going to be made right in heaven. They wandered in deserts, goes on. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens, caves of the earth. And these all. Say, preacher, who's the all? Well, they're the nameless people whose stories are not going to be told. Nobody knows them. Lost to history. Some of them died in obscurity. Some of them died thinking I made no difference. All that sacrifice, and this is the way I died. Their last fleeting moments was this is it. Watching their family murdered, watching their children murdered, watching their wives abused, watching dying, gasping their last breath. But you know what? They woke up, and I think they saw Jesus not sitting. There's some people that the way they're willing to die for God, Jesus stands up. He stands up. When they come through, he stands up. He stood up for Stephen. He stood up for Stephen. I know it's not God's will. I'm not telling you guys to go find a death wish. Go, you know, make it, you know, on your bucket list. Number one, win the martyr's crown. Okay? But I'm saying this, if you're asked to, you ought to stand up. You ought to stand up. It says, and these all have obtained a good report. Through what? This is what we've been talking about the whole time. Through faith, verse 39, through faith. But yet they received not the promise. Folks, they couldn't even look back at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to preach on Sunday about the resurrection, they didn't know how all that was going to happen. We know how it happened. They just believed that it would, they had faith that one day these things would come. The promised Messiah would come. All of the promises of what he would do. They believed it. They believed it. Then verse 40, we'll be done. God having provided some better thing for us. Folks, we don't have to listen. Our faith ought to be stronger, not weaker. We have a finished Bible. We can read in four different Gospels detailed account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read the words of witnesses that went and looked in the tomb and it was empty. They didn't have that. Why would their faith be stronger than Jerry Ross's? Why? Shame on me. Shame on us. You know, if we're not willing to say, Lord, whatever you ask, whatever the cost, you know what? God, you're worth it. God, you're worth it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, wow, what a chapter. Preacher didn't do it justice. A lot of times, Lord, I just can't find the words. But I feel it. I feel it. I feel it in my heart. I close my eyes and see it. It's just hard sometimes to know how to say it. Get us ready, Lord. Raise up a generation of young people that says, I'll do the hard thing. I'll take the hard stand. We need young men that'll say, I'll preach the hard things. I'll be unpopular. Whatever comes with standing for God and standing with His Word, let it come. Let it come. Lord, help us to be men and women of faith, men and women of faith.